Word, last week he was talking about the pearl, the gates of pearl, described in, I think it's Revelation 22. And I wanted to explain a little bit more about the forming of pearls. It's not necessarily an irritation. It's any foreign object that enters the oyster is going to get covered with nacre. That's the pretty part of the pearl. But also there's another side to this. When the oyster has an injury, part of it gets broken off, part of the mantle gets broken off, that becomes a pearl as well. Isn't that cool? Maybe that opens up something in our minds, the way the Spirit works. You know, God is so powerful that He uses everything. You know, things that are meant to harm us become a pearl. They become a beautiful thing. You know, we have God introducing certain things into our lives, and that's a beautiful thing. And we have the enemy working on us too sometimes, and God turns it around and makes it useful. How frustrating that must be for Satan. Now you remember the story, it's in Matthew 13, where Jesus says the kingdom is like a pearl merchant searching for fine pearls. And upon finding one, he goes and he sells all that he has and buys that pearl. I meditated on this a lot. The only thing I can figure is, we're the pearl. We're the pearl that God's after. Humanity. He's been looking for us. And He's willing to give up everything to get us. He showed that in the life of Christ. There's been many or several decades we've been hearing the preaching of the kingdom, and there's been a lot of intercession towards that, a lot of prayer, a lot of proclamation. And I think for many of us, we were thinking it was a thing. The kingdom was a thing that was going to happen to the earth. And I think now we're realizing that it's not a thing. It's a relationship. It's a reality of relationship. You know, when you're on a trip, when you were a child, you're taking a nap in the car, and you wake up and you ask your dad, "Daddy, are we there yet?" I think that's kind of where we've been. Listen, "Daddy, are we in the kingdom yet? When's the kingdom going to come?" That doesn't sound a whole lot different from the Israelites when Jesus was walking the earth as one person. Now he's walking the earth as many people. But you remember when Jesus was there, the religious people couldn't accept that he was the Messiah, because the Messiah was going to overthrow the government system that was in place then. He's going to overthrow the powers that be and establish the kingdom of God. Are we looking for the same thing? I think we have to think about that. Are we looking for a total change of our circumstance? Easy street, as it were. I don't think we have to worry about... One of the brothers brought up you know, the need to love with all this kingdom focus, there's no need, because the kingdom is all about knowing him. It's all about hearing him. The kingdom. It's a closer relationship with the Lord. You know, I'm still having trouble with my pinched nerve, but I know in the Spirit I'm perfect. I'm struggling a little bit with the lack of reality, but I believe God that every person I meet in the medical field, I'm going to bless. I don't know how many I'm going to have to meet, but I'm going the whole nine yards. See, in our life, we want the kingdom, but we don't want to go through all the crap. Pardon me. Right? But do we understand that the kingdom is becoming manifest as we go through that? It doesn't happen any other way. You remember the story about the Good Samaritan? Okay, the Pharisee, when he saw the dude in the ditch that the robbers had beat up, he crossed to the other side of the street, right? I take my dog for a walk every day after lunch. And there's a bum that hangs out in this area where I take my dog for a walk. Yesterday, there was a bum and a drunk, the town drunk. I want to cross on the other side of the street. I don't want to deal with them. But the kingdom says, deal with them. When are we going to bring Christ into their reality? I mean, push is coming to shove. Everybody we interact with, every problem, that's not a problem, that's an opportunity. Jesus never met a problem in his life. There was no problem. I've read the New Testament more than once, and some parts of it a lot. I do not see a single instance recorded in the Gospels where Jesus had a problem. Do you? What about, you could say, what about the crucifixion? That was a problem. Not really. The beautiful thing there, and this just, it touches me so much. In two different Gospels, there's two different things recorded. One of them, he's hanging on the cross, and he looks at one of the disciples, and he says, behold your mother. And he looks at his mom and he says, behold your son. Establishing a relationship when he's hanging there in pain, not even thinking about himself, but tenderly establishing a relationship. And the other thing was, the one guy that was being crucified on the other side said, hey, why don't you save yourself? Can't you do one little thing? And the other guy said how perfect he was, that this guy's the Son of God. I don't remember the exact text. I've got the scripture here, but it's irrelevant. And Jesus looked over at him and he said, today you're going to be with me in paradise. That's so beautiful. There's no problems. There's only opportunities. We talked recently about Luke 9, about Jesus feeding the 5,000. And I love, you know, all the people were there, and Jesus said to the disciples, "Hey, you got food for 5,000? And they said, "No, we only got this and that." And he said, "You feed them." He didn't say, "Hey, I'll do a miracle." He said, "You feed them." I love that. We're so aware of our lack, and we're aware of other people's lack also. But that's not the kingdom. That's humanity, humanism, whatever you want to call it. No, this is perfect, just the way it is. You can't get any more in it. You remember my lesson before? Some of you do. That's right. Empty or full? That's right. It's full of air. But you can't see it. Got no real hard concrete evidence of it, right? It's a faith issue. Correct? You know because you believe. We're just like this. We're perfect. We're full of God. We have Christ within. We just don't see him yet. We get glimpses occasionally. Glimpses of ourselves in the Spirit. Glimpses of God in others. Can't pour him out either. Isn't that cool? We can't lose him. Can't pour him out. We can crush the glass, but he's still there. He's surrounding the glass. He's inside the glass, as he is in us. Could you wait just a minute? That's the kingdom. It's a matter of changing the way we think about things, renewing our minds, as Romans 12 says. Let's look at Revelation 3. And you thought you brought your Bible for nothing. And I think we're going to start at verse 18. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's before that. We're going to start we'll start at 17. Okay, so it says, "You say, 'I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing.' But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked." Now, something that occurred to me is, when we have this posturing where we think we got it, God says, "No. No, you're poor, wretched, pitiful, blind, and naked." So when pride, you know, when we posture with pride, God's going to speak the reality to us. But here's the weird thing. If you come to him and you say, "I'm poor, I'm blind, I'm naked," he says, "No, you're not. See, we're never going to get it right. He says, no, you're not. I live in you. I'm your sight. I'm your wealth. I'm your clothing.
That's
good. So if we approach him in humility, and humility is the right relationship with God. Humility is knowing who he is and knowing who we are. It's not coming to him as a rug to be trampled on. That's not humility. I never thought of that before. I thought that was pretty far out. So you're not tired of me talking yet, are you?
No.
Okay. So if we're looking at our own resources, we're always going to be aware of our lack. If we're tuned in to the Lord, we're going to be aware of his abundance. And he's given everything to us. But we don't live like that, do we? You know, you watch, what was that TV show? Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous? Talk about excess, right? That's how we should be living in the Spirit, to excess. We live with lack. We're just not quite willing to stick our neck out and risk it. We're going to make mistakes. Life in the kingdom is all about making mistakes, but it's something that we don't have to worry about because there's no loss there. God is going to make something out of it. As long as we have God in this little box that we can understand, and we're so careful to do the right thing, and we've been brought up to do that, right? Ever since we were little kids, we're brought up, taught to do the right thing. And if we didn't do the right thing, well, there was punishment involved, right? But there is no right thing. See, we're not under the law. At least we have the provision to where we're not under it. We still may accept some of it. But there is no right and wrong. What does the Lord say about it? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Right? It's not always stepping in the right spot that pleases him. It's faith. Jesus said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. It's not by every scripture. It's what he's saying to us right now. It's the living word, the spoken word that he's talking to us. Whether it comes from reading, or it comes from a brother or sister, or it comes right in your inner heart. That's what we live by. I got nothing more to say. Waste of a good tape. Did you have something to say?
I don't think we need any more needs to be said. We've heard. Let's stand together. Could we sing that again? You are the air I breathe. And I'll just let, you know, we've had the word imparted to our hearts. It's beautiful. Let's just worship God in it.
Amen.